Our study tonight is out of Luke chapter 2, verse 21, among other passages. The great significance of Christ's circumcision. The circumcision of Jesus Christ on the eighth day after his birth is briefly mentioned in Luke 1:21, but in light of Old Testament revelation, it has enormous significance in his ministry that stretches on into eternity. I didn't know this when I first started studying it, but wow. So we view the passage and related Old Testament passages for our insight, our application, and edification. Let me read the verse and then we'll look at it. Luke chapter 2, verse 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Circumcision for Israel's people in Jesus' day was connected to all the blessings that God had for the entire world. And let me point this out. In Genesis chapter 12, 1, 2, and 3, God had made an unconditional covenant with Abraham to give him the promised land, to make of him a great nation, Israel, to make his name great, to make him a blessing, to bless them that blessed him and to curse them that cursed him, and in Abraham to bless all of the families of the entire earth. Then, in Genesis 17, verses 11 to 13, God instituted the rite of circumcision as a sign of this covenant, and it was to be administered on the eighth day after a baby boy's birth, to be practiced always by Abraham's descendants. Incidentally, when I was at Dallas Seminary, they told us that on the eighth day after birth, a male's vitamin K count is at its highest level throughout his entire life. And vitamin K is necessary for the clotting of blood. So that was designed by God on the eighth day. Now, if this rite was not practiced on any male among Abraham's household and descendants, that male was to be cut off from the people of Israel, implying capital punishment. This is in Genesis 17, 11 to 13. So it's absolutely essential that they have the circumcision accomplished. Now, those who were part of the Abrahamic covenant would be blessed only if they pleased God in living righteously. So God gave the Mosaic law at Mount Sinai to stipulate what was needed for Abraham and his descendants to please the Lord. However, the people of Israel failed to keep the Mosaic law, and they, along with the Gentile world left to themselves, stand condemned before God, as taught by passages like Romans 3:23 and Isaiah 64:6. Remember Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Isaiah 64:6, even our righteousnesses are as filthy rags before the Lord. Jesus in John chapter 3 says that if people haven't believed on the Son yet, they already stand condemned because they haven't believed. Accordingly, in grace, God promised to bless them through the Messiah by sending him as his son, made of a woman, that's Mary, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law, Galatians 4, 4, and 5. Now, that's something that a lot of Christians don't understand. The Lord Jesus came under the law. Now, he's God. He's God incarnate, but he's in human flesh. And in order to qualify to be our sin bearer, he had to obey the law perfectly. And he had to do that in submission to the Father. So in submission to the Father, he came under the Mosaic law. And no one lived the Mosaic law perfectly like the Lord Jesus did. He did it perfectly. So, God sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, through Mary, who was of the seed of David, and who was married to Joseph, who was of the royal lineage of David, in qualifying him to sit on David's throne in blessing. Now, the physical lineage of Jesus Christ then needed to be coupled with his circumcision on the eighth day to make him eligible to fulfill the promises that God had pledged to Abraham. Unless Jesus were circumcised, he was not part of the covenant community, and he would have been required to be executed. So the Lord Jesus had to be circumcised. This is something that's important. It's only one little verse in the Bible that mentions it, and it happens to be mentioned by a Gentile, Luke. It wasn't even mentioned by the Jewish writers, Matthew and Mark and John, but it was mentioned by Luke. And Luke mentions it in order to clarify the fact that he was named Jesus, because they would give the child's name on the day that he was circumcised, the baby boy. And that was the practice that they had. But he had to be circumcised to be eligible to fulfill the promises. Now, Paul referred to this in Galatians 3:16 when he said, "The promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed, not into seeds, plural, meaning many, but to your seed," meaning one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the circumcision of the one Matthew introduced as Abram's descendant, Matthew 1:1, was recorded by Luke to relate him to Abraham, the father of circumcision in Israel, Luke chapter 2, verse 21. Well, Jesus then perfectly kept the Mosaic law in his life, thus qualifying him to be the source of God's blessings to Israel and all the families of the earth, Hebrews 4:15. However, to spread this blessing to sinful men, God graciously had his son die on the cross as a substitutionary atonement for the sins of the whole world, that by faith in him, anyone in the world could have Christ's perfect righteousness applied to his account, that he might be pronounced righteous by God. 2 Corinthians 5:19, "He was made to be sin for us, he who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." When one then believes in Jesus Christ for salvation from sin, God pronounces him righteous. That's what justification means. And that person becomes a recipient of all of the blessings of God that he has in Christ by that person's identification with the Lord Jesus Christ. See, we're blessed with the blessings that God has for all believers through Christ. But Christ could only qualify to be our Savior and to die in our place if he was perfectly obedient to the law. And he was perfectly obedient to the law, and also he was circumcised, which made him part of the covenant community of Israel. So we are connected to the blessings of God to Israel through our relationship with Jesus Christ, who happens to be Jewish. And that's why we're connected to those blessings. For our Messiah is a Jew. And he's still a Jew. He's a man. He's God come in the flesh. But humanly, he's a Jew. And because of that, we have this tremendous blessing. Praise God for the fact that he was circumcised. One is thus blessed with eternal life in Christ by faith in him, John 3:16, and he will participate in the blessings of the Abrahamic covenant in eternity through the Lord Jesus Christ, whether he's a Jew or a Gentile. Now, I'll read this very important passage. Galatians chapter 3 states this very, very unequivocally, and I'll get it here. Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Actually, the verses are the theme of the entire epistle to Galatians. Galatians 3:13, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, as it is written, 'Cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree,' that the blessing of Abraham," that's Genesis 12, 1, 2, and 3, "that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ," that's us, "that we might receive the promise of the Holy Spirit through faith." And that can only come as Jesus was connected to the Abrahamic covenant. And he's connected to the Abrahamic covenant not only because he's Jewish, but because he was circumcised. Accordingly, Joseph and Mary had Jesus circumcised on the eighth day after his birth in full obedience to the Abrahamic covenant and the Mosaic law, making him reckoned as a descendant of Abraham and thus eligible to fulfill the promises of God that God made to Abraham as the promised Messiah. You see how important it is for parents to obey the Lord. Joseph and Mary, just going about their duties, not thinking it any special, they went ahead and had Jesus circumcised just like any other Jew and had him named properly and all that. But this is extremely important in view of the salvation that Jesus Christ offers. Praise God, he used Joseph and Mary. So in concert with his circumcision and in keeping with Hebrew tradition, Jesus was given the name Jesus. At his circumcision, in fulfillment of the word of the angel Gabriel to Mary in Luke 1:31, and the word of the angel of the Lord to Joseph in Matthew 1:21. It's interesting how angels communicated the name Jesus both to Mary and then to Joseph so that they knew him. And of course, the word Jesus is English for Yeshua, which is the word in Hebrew salvation, or we know it better in the Old Testament as Joshua. Joshua means salvation, he saves. So to have Jesus reckoned to be of Abraham's line as a recipient of God's covenant blessings, he was circumcised on the eighth day in accordance with the Abrahamic covenant and the Mosaic law. This helped to qualify him to be the propitiation for the sins of the world, that God's blessings might come on all who believe in him. So may we praise God that Jesus was circumcised the eighth day after birth to qualify to be our Savior. And may we anticipate all the eternal blessings of the Abrahamic covenant through the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. You know, I think this is one little verse, Luke chapter 2, verse 21. But the Lord Jesus, when he was an infant, was too weak. Humanly, he didn't have the capacity to conceive of the fact that he needed to be circumcised. He was still having to be carried and carried. He was just 8 days of age. The dependence for him being circumcised was on his parents. Now, Joseph was not his technical father, obviously. He was viewed as a father figure. But Jesus' father was God, and he was conceived by the Holy Spirit through Mary. But he was acting as the role of a father. But as parents, they did their job. It's interesting today in our adult Sunday school class, not adult Sunday school class, in the children's conversation, Dave was doing the conversation. He was doing a cute little play on the Simon Says game that children play, but it's a play of obedience. And he was teaching how we need to obey our parents. And of course, Zach cut in, yeah, the parents need to obey the Lord. And we had to clarify that. But anyway, he was trying to steal David's thunder. But it's so important for parents to obey the Lord. You know, if Mary and Joseph had not obeyed the Lord, well, you know, we wouldn't have had a Savior who was qualified to go to the cross. Something simple. They probably were stunned at the importance of this. And probably in eternity they recognize it. But the move that they made, just simply obeying the Lord as parents and following through with what they were supposed to do with their child, the Lord Jesus, as he was being raised, that made it possible for our Savior to be qualified to be our Savior and to die on the cross for us. So may we always appreciate parents, especially parents who obey the Lord and rear their children. And if God calls, I know we have a number of young adults here tonight and young people, and if the Lord calls you someday to get married and to be parents, what God wants you to do is just simply obey him in regards to how you handle your children, because it's going to affect the following generation in a very big way.